Hello, welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat. Sit down with Pastor Brent Kuhlman and Pastor Scott Porth and Dare to be Lutheran. Last week, we talked about the holy and royal priesthood, and we want to dig into that a little bit deeper this week.
Brent, yeah, there's more to be said, isn't there?
Absolutely. It's just the scriptures are flush with what the baptized are given to do. How to live as a baptized child of God. Like we said last week, this is very practical stuff.
Yeah.
1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We talked last week about you are part of the priesthood, the holy and royal priesthood, and the priests, they speak to people on behalf of God, and priests speak to God on behalf of people, and priests offer sacrifices. Last week we talked about, the Romans 12, where you offer your body as the living sacrifice. You deny yourself in order that you might serve your neighbor. Well, these sacrifices, once again, there are so much that can be said about this. The sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving.
Yes, that's part of this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so we receive God's gifts, and they bear its fruit in our lives. God works through his word and through his sacraments to make us holy people so that we might be able to, so that we might deny ourselves.
And so this brings to mind the Hebrews text from Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that confess his name. There you have it.
Yeah. He who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Giving credit where credit's due. Fear, loving, and trusting in God above all things. This is all hooked with this sacrifice of praise.
Right. And this happens Sunday morning when you're in church. It happens all the rest of the week in your daily vocations as you offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And that, again, is your spiritual worship, Paul says. So, we're beating this pretty hard, but it needs to be said and emphasized, because I think, I'm struggling on how to say this, because we've talked so much about this, but, let's just simply let the scriptures say what they say and not impose something from the outside on them. So, the holy and royal priesthood offers spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This includes offering your bodies as living sacrifices, Romans 12, which means denying yourself, the way Jesus talks in the Gospels, and take up your cross and follow me. We'll say more about that, the cross and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Hebrews text, whereby we offer God a sacrifice when we praise and confess his name. Connect that again with what we've talked about before. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, also in connection with the second commandment about using God's name properly. Prayer, praise, thanksgiving. Notice how all this is connected. And it's all connected with the name of God that he's given to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you confess the one true God faithfully and correctly as he has revealed himself through his Son and in his word, this, too, is a sacrifice of praise by confessing his name correctly. Because, you see, to fear, love, and trust in God above all things means to fear, love, and trust the triune God above all things. And that's specifically Christian. And the temptation for us today in the church is to deny and to not confess God as triune. Because people don't want to hear that. I mean, again, I give the example of presidents of the United States. When they give their major speeches, they always say, "And God bless America," regardless of what they believe. But that's just generic God. But if you were elected president of the United States, God, I would venture a guess that you would bless people this way: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, namely God the Father,
right,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you always.
Yep,
it'd be a triune blessing.
Because that's a true blessing.
Yeah. That's God putting his name on people again.
Right. That which God gives is received and then is given out. That which God breathes into us, we breathe back. He has not given us a generic name, a generic salvation. It's very specific. He doesn't give us a flexible word of God that is malleable and up to our own interpretations and our own designs. This is how, once again, the baptized live. They receive from God, and those gifts then are used according to God's will for the benefit of the baptized, but also for his neighbor.
That's right. And then, and this proclaiming God correctly and faithfully is doing mission work, by the way, whether you know it or not. So you're at a restaurant and you pray with your family, and you may begin in the name of the Father and of the Son. People are watching you. Who are these people? And some might be very interested. And little do you know, you're doing mission work and you didn't even know it.
Yeah, and you don't do it for the sake of other people to notice you either.
It just happens.
You simply do it because you're receiving the gifts of God. Like you would at home, where nobody might see, you give thanks for this food. And you give thanks to the one who is responsible for that.
Yeah, yeah. Piggybacking on what you said earlier is that the Holy and Royal Priesthood speak to God. That is to say, they pray. And this always brings to mind the 1 Timothy text. But let's not forget, too, Lord, teach us how to pray. And when you pray, pray our Father who art in heaven, etc., etc. This, too, is a spiritual sacrifice. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying it against yourself. You're praying it for yourself. And you're also praying it for other people because you not only want God's name to be holy among you, but you also want it to be holy in your family and elsewhere, your congregation, your community, etc. So that's just an example. Now, the 1 Timothy text where Paul says, first of all, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which means, here's the first, this is of most importance here. First of all, I urge that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it doesn't matter who's the president, doesn't matter who's the governor, doesn't matter who's the on the Supreme Court, doesn't matter. We're going to pray for them.
And for all people.
Yep. And, the emperor at this time might have been Nero. And can you imagine? Oh, my goodness.
How did the congregation receive that?
Now, that's debatable. You'll have others to say, oh, no, that wasn't written at that time. But close enough for my money at this
point.
Well,
it still applies in that time, doesn't it? As it applies for us today, no matter whom the president is, no matter whom the governor is, or who's on the Supreme Court. First of all, priesthood, I've given you something to do here.
And this is connected with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer with daily bread. If you do not have rulers who do their work faithfully and who stay within their vocation according to God's will and his word, you're going to have daily bread, generally speaking.
Yep, good government.
Yeah, pious rulers. So yeah, I like that in the Small Catechism, what is meant by daily bread, and it gives this whole list of things and includes good weather, good reputation, and also includes rulers. Pious rulers, I think. Is that the language? Am I remembering it correctly?
Yes.
Pious. That means, I think, two things. Number one, that these rulers are men and women of the highest integrity. They're not given to bribes, corruption, or immorality. And yet, at the same time, pious in the sense that they're God-fearing people. Namely, they believe in God. Now, I say that on purpose, because we were told now in our country that, you get elected to these positions of authority, and you have to leave your Christianity, check it in at the door.
Yep, check it at the door. No.
And I'm tempted just to run for some kind of office and just run on that premise alone, that when I'm elected, I will bring my Christianity with me. So watch out, folks. The Matheny guy, is it Mark Matheny, the general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals? Mike Matheny, I think that's his name.
I'm not sure.
Maybe he's not the general manager. Maybe he's one of the other coaches. But I think he is the manager. In any event, have you read his letter? See, he also coaches a Little League team. Have you read his letter to the parents?
No.
Oh, scandalous.
Not very politically correct, I'm judging here.
No, but nonetheless, he does his work. He does his work as a coach. And I'm going to just paraphrase it. Let me do my work as a coach. You're not. parents.
Yeah.
You're not the coach. I am. Stay out of it. Let me do my work. Now, if he doesn't do his work, then we can talk.
Right.
But that's, so why do we pray for all those in authority? Paul says, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. In other words, we can receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And there's a lot of benefits to that. We can then proclaim the gospel and pray that it bears fruit.
In the divine service, we sometimes the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs.
Right.
Language that really comes forth from the Timothy passage there. But prayer is not just something that is done in church. It's not just done corporately. But we would emphasize here as well that in addition to that, the priests do this as well. And so you pray for all people, the governors, those in authority. But you also pray for your family. Once again, I'm just going to draw the circle a little bit tighter here. Don't forget to pray for your spouse.
Yeah.
Don't forget to now, some people would say, duh, that's the first person I pray for. But sometimes people, yeah,
do
see?
You?
And so pray for your children.
Oh, pastor, pray for me. I will. And then you never do it.
Right. And pray for your pastor.
by all means.
He needs it more than anybody else. No, not more than it. But seriously, this is the way in which the baptized then are at work in God's kingdom for the sake not only of the household of believers, but for all people.
Yeah, offerings. These are offering spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. So we've looked at 1 Timothy. I want to look up another passage, if you will, just real quickly in the time
sure.
we have.
Yeah.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. You know, we've been talking about going to church. Well, this is very interesting.
You were talking about offering, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. The Philippians gave Paul an offering, a gift. So Philippians 4:18, Paul says, I'm looking it up here. Here we go. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied. I love that. It's kind of like we were talking earlier when we were talking about the commandments a few shows ago where you live from abundance.
Yeah. Being gardeners.
Yeah. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Now notice the gifts that they sent Paul. Notice what he calls them. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Little did you know that when you write a check or put some cash in an offering envelope and put it in the offering plate at church, this is a spiritual sacrifice that is pleasing to God.
Because obviously here, Paul pocketed this money, and Paul used this only for his own. No, notice, Paul takes this gift and uses it for the sake of the church, if you will.
Yeah, for the sake of the preaching of the gospel.
Right, right.
That's precisely why you give offerings, is so that the gospel can be pro. And so here we have the both and. Our offerings go to not only paying the light bill and to paying the pastor's salary so that we can have our children baptized and receive the Lord's body and blood, but also at the same time so that our offerings can also go to people who the Lord has chosen to give their full-time attention to mission work. It's a both and.
It reminds me of the language then from Paul in the end of his epistle to the Romans, where through the preaching of the word then, the Gentiles are an acceptable sacrifice as well. So here, if you will, the offerings, the acceptable sacrifice, the offering, that the money that's put in the offering plate, being used for the preaching of God's word, that there might be a harvest, that there might be the Gentiles who are gathered into the church. And this too, a fragrant offering from the Lord. Well, folks, we'll have a little bit more to say. We're going to spend a little bit of time on the second half here talking about the Christian and suffering. So be sure to join us.